and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast. This is episode beta 81 for Friday, the 20th of May, 2016. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Kent, and I am not joined by Amos this week. This week, somebody else is filling in, and she, I think, is trying to stage a coup and take over the podcast. Welcome to the show, Jackie Hearn. What's up, Jackie?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. As soon as you said I was going to attempt a coup, I departed. I was like, no, I'm not taking blame for this. I'm really excited to do this. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, not a problem. Man, what a week. I am so glad. I know I say this all the time, but I am so glad that this week is over. It is Friday. It's time for Ritual Misery. I'm so glad. Oh, my gosh. How was your week, Jackie? Hopefully better than mine.
I don't know. It was, I guess it wasn't the worst.
Yeah. Could have been better, though. Anything crazy happen?
Yeah. Well, I've been a couple of weeks ago, the last time I was on your show, the day of, okay, and just keep doing this all day. This will be great. The last time I was on your show, I think I complained or said that one of my teeth had cracked. I had to go to the dentist, and I'm still dealing with that. I got these, they put like fake things in, and it's a pain in the ass. I can't eat anything properly. So then I'm not sleeping well, and I hate After Effects, and I hate Chrome, and that's all I have to say about that.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can share the dislike for Chrome. I haven't used After Effects, but yeah, Chrome can. Oh, man. So, work. I am not the type of person that gets nervous about going to work. Are you? Mm-hmm. Do you get nervous about work? Are you a nervous person?
I guess no. I'm a public speaker. So for the first year and a half, I was miserable. I was terrified. My face would get all splotchy and different patterns all over my face.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hives almost.
Yeah. It was apparent. And then I discovered on the internet, it's a histamine level thing. So I would just take a Benadryl and then that went away. Okay. And then my confidence picked up and now I'm not nervous at all.
Oh, right on.
So what made you nervous at work?
Well, see, it's weird because I work on an Air Force base. Mm-hmm. And the, I guess kind of the parent unit of us that's actually in a different state. They were going to do a visit this week, and basically just a few of the guys were going to come over, and I'd never met these guys, which kind of played into the nervousness, I guess. I'm pretty new at this job. I've been doing it for about 6-7 months now, and these guys between them probably have 30-40 years experience doing my job. Mm. And that normally, doesn't really bother me because I'm the kind of person that when I'm given a task, whether it's my job or if it's just hey, go learn how to do this real quick. I'm the kind of person that gets into the books and reads and learns everything I can about it. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. So I'm usually really confident about my ability to do things. Well, these guys coming normally wouldn't be a problem, except everybody that I work with knows these guys and built them up to be these, like, I don't want to say bad people, but these hard asses that they're gonna tear your stuff apart and they're not gonna like the way you do this and the way you do that. And I was like, oh my God. I think they came on was it Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday. So I got up for work Tuesday morning just dreading it. I was like, Oh, God, this is the day that those guys are coming. Oh, man, damn it. So I get to work, and I'm getting, nervous. They didn't get there till about an hour after I'd been at work. So I'm already on, I think I was getting ready to pour my third cup of coffee by this time. I'm just, all jittery and, oh, no, this is going to suck. This is awful. And then they get there, And they're actually really cool guys. And it was all for nothing. It was a bunch of build-up for nothing. So
that's something. I guess I could definitely understand that. I get nervous like with new clients, and I feel like they don't understand what they're like hiring me for. And then I just dread it, and then usually get in there and it's okay after a while. But so I can kind of relate to that.
Yeah, it was just a weird experience for me because I love meeting new people, and usually I'm kind of excited about the prospect of meeting new people. And it was just kind of mm-hmm. I don't know, it was just a weird, I think it was all just the buildup of my coworkers. They kind of misdirected me on that.
They ruined it for you.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So, did you do anything cool this week?
Nothing cool. I tried to, like I said, I was trying to learn After Effects, and I thought I was a genius because I thought I had figured it out like within an hour. But apparently I need a lot more RAM, and so it was really frustrating, and so I thought I was going to lose my mind. And so what I did was what I do to gain my sanity back, and that is to watch Breaking Bad again. So I'm watching Breaking Bad on another computer because I can't run it on the one I'm, trying to work After Effects on. For the 11th millionth time. And it never gets old to me. So.
Oh, it's such a great show. I've only watched it through all the way once.
Uh-huh.
But oh man, so good. I can definitely see do that in the future. But yeah,
did you watch it as the show was airing, or did you binge and watch?
Oh, I binged like just last year. I watched it in 2015. Really late to the game. But yeah, so good. But yeah, speaking of RAM, I had to mess with RAM this week. My iMac is a late 2009 model, and it came with 4 gigabytes of RAM, and that's all that it's had. Up until just a couple of days ago, I upgraded, I maxed it out to 16 gigabytes of RAM now, hoping that that will fix some of my OBS issues. And I think it's smoothed out some of them, but I think I'm having maybe some bandwidth issues at this point. I don't know. As long as we don't go back to alpha and just stay in beta, I think I'll be good with that.
Yeah. Just stay in beta. It's a nice, comfortable place. Speaking of the beta, I'm having a little audio issue. I didn't want to have to say it out loud, but I'm hearing parts of what you're saying, but I picked it up enough to know what's going on.
Yeah. See, I wonder if that has to do with the stream, or if that's maybe I don't know. I don't know what's going on because I can hear you just fine.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, so if I start talking about like Oreo cookies or something out of nowhere, it's because I have no idea what's going on. Okay.
All right. That's awesome. Oh, man.
I don't know why I said Oreo cookies.
So you said that you were watching Breaking Bad this week. What I got into this last week, actually, I guess it was about a week and a half ago, I was just kind of looking on Netflix and trying to find something to watch, and I noticed a documentary about the 60s that was put out by CNN.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, this is interesting. Let me throw an episode on. And it was so good. It was the first episode was about the assassination of JFK.
Cool.
And it was so good. It had so much footage of like press coverage and stuff that I had never seen before. I thought I'd seen like all the JFK footage that was ever put out there. No, like they really dug deep and found some stuff that I'd never seen before. And so I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to watch this whole series. I think it was like 10 episodes, 10 or 12 episodes. And so I kind of binge watched it this week, and oh my God, every single episode of it is so, so good.
Excellent.
And they have the 70s out as well. And I watched the first episode of that. Actually, I watched the first two episodes of that, and I'm probably going to binge watch the rest of that this coming week. And right now, they're producing the 80s, and I absolutely cannot wait for that.
I have caught, because I I'm supposed to be a cord killer, but I'm at the moment I'm not. I gotta go back and forth. So I have been watching, but I don't watch, you know, on a cable with a cable box on a TV. I watch, you know, via the, you know, like the Comcast login for the website. Mm-hmm. And I watch, you know, everything like recorded. But I caught that. I did catch at least one episode of the 80s. Oh. And it was really good. It was really good. I couldn't like pull myself away. Yeah. And then I saw this. I saw that you'd watched the 60s, but I didn't see it on the CNN site. But I realize now it is on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I didn't really put two and two together that that's what's in Netflix. It's the CNN show.
Yeah. 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 So good.
So I would like to see that. And so isn't it just like there's one on, you know, I don't know, television, one on, like you said, JFK, maybe another one on civil rights?
Yeah.
Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, the civil rights one was one of my favorite ones. It was.
Oh, good.
Oh, it was so, so, so good. And most of the episodes are like 42 minutes long. The civil rights one was like an hour and a half. So it was basically a double episode on just the civil rights. And it is so thorough in the coverage of it. It was absolutely amazing. They had ones about the space race, the Vietnam War.
Okay. Cool.
Like music, like the like they had a whole thing about the hippies and Woodstock and that whole like social movement. Basically, the youth of America being disgruntled with the government and kind of the status quo.
Beginnings of the anti-war movement.
Yeah, no, yeah, that whole thing. And I don't know. They covered everything.
Cool.
The 60s was such a tumultuous decade.
Yes.
And they did a really good job just really putting it all right out there for the audience. It was, I cannot recommend it enough. It's so good.
It'd be cool to kind of compare that with the 80s, you know, because they were so different.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to the 80s because I lived it. I was a kid in the 80s, and I remember it so vividly, or at least I think I do. Maybe my brain has overwritten it with, you know, fake memories or whatever. But I have a very clear picture in my head of key events from the 80s, and I can't wait to see the documentary perspective of my childhood, basically.
Well, I wish I could say the same, but I was born in, like, 1999.
Oh, right, of course, of course. I forgot about that. I forgot how young you are.
So, of course, I don't remember the 80s. No, I don't remember the 80s.
You're young enough to be my daughter.
That's right.
It's amazing.
But and speaking of the CNN documentaries, I absolutely love them too. And I've been watching, there's a new series out by a comedian, Camus Bell. Okay. I wasn't really familiar with him before the show, but he goes and he meets people that he wouldn't normally meet and tries to get to know them and anyways, I think his first episode was on the KKK.
Oh, yes, I did hear about that one.
Okay, yeah, it was really crazy, and there was a good one on prisons. Like I think he went to San Quentin in California and got to know the prisoners there. That was really, really good. And then I also love Anthony Bourdain. I think he's a cool dude. Anybody who kind of lives a life like he has and, you know, just can go around and travel and eat and get paid for it, I gotta give him some cred.
I've got mixed feelings about Anthony Bourdain.
Okay, everyone does. I was gonna ask you.
Man.
Yeah, sure. I'm not offended, but
I think part of the reason that I'm mixed on him, I think I'm jealous of him.
Yeah.
Like, I would love his life. I love traveling and seeing new places, eating new food, mingling with the locals. That's great. But I think the part that I don't like is that he – I think he's kind of Magoo. He doesn't fit in with these places that he goes at all. He is the sore thumb wherever
he's gotten better. He's gotten better because I've watched some of his early, like, No Reservations, and he definitely seems like a cocky, like, asshole. And I do see him, like, in places now with with, you know, sort of very obscure cultures that, and I think he's getting a little bit better in his older age with, you know, being a little more, understanding, or I don't know what word I'm looking for.
Right.
Compassionate or something.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. A little more respectful of the local customs and things. Yeah. Yeah. And
you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I haven't seen any of his later, you know, more current work. So maybe my opinion will swing to more to the positive on him.
Yeah. One of my loves of my life is to travel. And so if there are places I can't go, you know, it's really sad when a show like that attempts to fill the void for you. And then you just feel bad about yourself. Oh, actually, it really pissed me off. I think that the series finale of his No Reservation show, he said, thanks to this audience for watching. He closed with saying, basically, so why don't you get off your butt and go see the world? You know, get off the couch, you know, put the potato chips down and go see the world. And I'm like, oh, okay, Anthony Bourdain, I will go see the world because I am a lazy bum sitting on my couch watching you. So I totally get not liking him.
Yep. The parts of the world that I've seen were at the expense of the Air Force.
You've probably traveled a lot more than I have, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially in Europe. I was in Asia, but I've only been to a couple places, sadly, in Europe. In Asia. But in Europe, I saw quite a bit of Europe. And that's just because going to another country in Europe is like going to another state. If it's that, because the countries are so small and everything just so close together that I saw quite a few countries when I was living over there. But since I've gotten out of the Air Force, though, I haven't been anywhere. I flew to California once. that's
about the extent. Yeah, well, that's something.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking a little bit about civil rights, and there's something I'm really excited about. I thought you might be, too, if you're a history buff, but there's HBO tomorrow. There's Bryan Cranston is starring in a LBJ film about, and it's focusing on the Civil Rights Act. Anyway, it looks interesting.
Yep, I forgot all about that. I can't wait to see that because I love Bryan Cranston. We were talking about Breaking Bad earlier.
Yeah, it all comes around.
Yep,
all come from with me, and always comes back to Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I loved him on Malcolm in the Middle. That's where I really became a fan of Bryan Cranston.
Never saw that.
Oh, Jackie,
really?
Do yourself a favor. That is one of the greatest sitcoms of all time.
All right.
Especially you being a Bryan Cranston fan.
Yeah.
This will give you a completely different perspective on Bryan Cranston.
I imagine. I do like him as a person too. He's really funny. Yeah, I've heard a lot of interviews of him, and he's a funny dude. He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's great. You need to watch that. Is it still on Netflix? I think it might be on Netflix.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's either Netflix or Hulu. It's definitely out there on the streaming. But yeah.
We hear my cat.
Yeah, I hear him.
Sorry, I told you.
No, that's awesome.
Can I tell the audience the issue with the cat?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because we were thinking it would actually make for a good podcast if this happened. Yeah. But he's an old cat, very old, and he's kind of like losing control of things. And 20 minutes before we got on our call, he stood up. I had a laptop on a table. He stood up over it and like hunched up, and you know, I was like, you know, anyways, he almost took a number two on my laptop. So he wants to get in here and get right in front of the camera and take a dump.
That would make for good TV.
Yes, it would. It wouldn't be good for me, but
right. And then we could all just sit here and watch you freak out and clean up the mess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, why not? I'll do anything for comedy.
Oh, man. That's awesome. All right. So let's move on to this. It is time for TED Talks. Did you watch a TED Talk, Jackie?
Yes, I did.
What did you watch?
I watch them regularly. My only problem with them is because they're so short. Like, by the time I want to put something on and let it go and then get involved in something, and then before you know it, it's done. You got to go to another one.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I found there was one on filter bubbles. The guy's name is Eli Parsner, I think. Is I don't know how to pronounce his name. Anyways, he talked about how social media is starting to really filter out things that don't relate to you specifically. And I think you started off with a quote by Zuckerberg that some people care more about a dead squirrel outside of their house than images of that than hearing about people dying in Africa. Right. And it was really effective because he showed how, his friends on Facebook, he's got liberal friends and conservative friends, and he's more liberal. So they're starting to weed out the comments of his conservative friends mm-hmm. on his feed because he doesn't click on their links. And that scares the shit out of me. Because while I don't want to hear people going on, I don't want to hear any political arguing in social media at all. It really drives me nuts. But again, it scares me that one guy can look up Egypt and only hear about travel, while another person will hear about, a political crisis there. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what you're searching and what it feeds out to you. So anyways, it was a great explanation of it. And it's very scary because, and he talked about the media, the press used to, they're well, not used. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Used to press. The press isn't that great these days, but they have a code of ethics for journalists and editors, and they try to report things and provide information to people to let them be more informed voters. And they did this pretty well, but now print media is dead. And what people are going to social media for their news. So it's
it's
depressing.
You only see what you've liked or what your friends like or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. And this it was interesting to me because this talk was from 2011, so it's a 5-year-old talk almost. And the same thing, like, I don't know if we fixed this. We might have improved some of the algorithms in that time, but the problem mm-hmm. is still here. It's still a very relevant topic. Because everything now, like we were talking about Netflix earlier, even Netflix shows you what it thinks that you want to see.
Yeah.
Everything that we do online is tailored specifically to us. Your ads are targeted, everything, absolutely everything. And that sounds fantastic. Like, oh, it's my own personal internet. But exactly like you said, it's not showing you the things that you quote don't want to see,
right?
Which is not really a good thing. You
right.
should be exposed to differing opinions, which is the beauty of the internet. You get to see everything. But if the algorithm filters that from us, what are we doing? We're just feeding our own arguments and feeding our own interests, and we don't get to see the opposing side, so we never have our eyes open to different ideas.
I think that's
a challenge. That is a challenge for programmers of all types, especially web developers, people like that.
Yes,
the people that are making these algorithms, like, you need to keep
the evil mind. Algorithm. Yeah. It's just the way it works. That's
they need to build in some sort of like a balancing mechanism, or as the speaker said, give us some control over.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, great talk. I you recommend it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said I thought it was a great talk. Do you recommend it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think I just saw someone mentioning it, maybe on Twitter or something, and yeah, I checked it out, and I was, yeah, I thought it was great. So yep. I needed one for the show, so there we go.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of them this week as well, and I couldn't. It took me a long time to decide on which one I was going to use. Yeah, I was watching things that were very visual. That I would mm-hmm. not be able to do it justice by talking about it.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, I settled on one by Alexis Ohanian.
Okay. Everybody's names are.
Yeah, that is the problem. You got to have a fucked up name to be a TED speaker.
Yes, right, exactly.
Because that's comedy in itself. Every week, me and Amos trying to pronounce the names of these speakers.
Like McBoatface.
Yeah.
But no, I'm sure what you get for that.
But yeah, so this guy, he's one of the founders of Reddit. Him and two of his buddies, I think, founded Reddit. Well, anyway, the name of his talk was How to Make a Splash in Social Media. And basically what he was talking about was this movement that people, it was basically a Save the Whales movement, and people wanted to put tracking devices on these whales so that they could track them and protest governments that are hunting the whales. And part of the campaign was this one particular whale, they wanted to name it. So mm-hmm. it becomes more personal and whatnot. So in true internet fashion, they put out a poll. What should we name this whale? And the name that the internet overwhelmingly chose for it was Mr. Splashy Pants.
Yeah, Splashy Pants.
Of course, Mr. Splashy Pants. And the organization that was running this, and I completely forget what the organization was.
Greenpeace, I think.
That's what it was. Yes, mm-hmm. you're right. So Greenpeace was like, no, there were way better suggestions. You know, people were submitting these like really intellectual names, like ancient languages, the word for, you know, some, you know, inspiring message type names or whatever. And they were like, yeah, we're not going to name it Mr. Splashy Pants. We're going to choose one of those other names. And the internet, of course, rose up and just protested and said, no, let's vote again. And the vote margin just got even wider and wider. So they ended up actually naming the whale Mr. Splashy Pants, and they capitalized on it. They made merchandise. People were really interested in following Mr. Splashy Pants. So the campaign was a huge success. And what that made me think of was just a couple of months ago, the scientific exploration vessel.
Yeah.
From, was it England, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, they did a similar thing. They put a poll out there, what should we name this boat? And overwhelmingly, the internet chose Bodie McBoatface.
Yep.
And they were just like, nope, we're not doing it. And I think they really missed an opportunity. They definitely missed the lesson learned from Mr. Splashy Pants.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I when I saw you put that in the notes, I saw the article or the TED Talk, so I watched that. And when I heard Mr. Splashy Pants, that rung a bell. And I was like, wait, how did I not know? Or maybe I did know about this. And I was trying to put two and two together. And then you put in reminds me of Bodie McBoatface. And I was like, well, no, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And then I had to go look up Bodie McBoatface because I was like, wait a minute, I have no clue what this is about. I know I've heard about it. And the reason I've heard about it was I think it was an episode of DTNS with Veronica was on, and Veronica was going on about how she loves the name Bodie McBoatface. And, yeah. And so I was like, well, how do I not even know what this is about? So I had to look it up, but I thought that was great. And I was laughing out loud completely when I saw that you put that in the doc. So,
this was a pretty neat talk, and it's a fairly short one too. So everybody can check those out.
Yeah, that was good. It was like 4 minutes. It was like, good. You get in, you get out.
Yep. Oh, man. So, Are you into movies, Jackie? You like going to the movie theater?
Oh yeah,
see movies. Do you typically go to the theater and see new movies coming out?
Yeah, I usually go to the theater. But I often see movies when they come out.
Yeah.
Well, even if it's not at the theater.
What's the last movie you saw in the theater, though?
Gosh. It might have been, I think it was Batman versus Superman.
Okay, so that was fairly recent.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. So
I mean, for me, but yeah.
One of the movies coming out this summer that's set up to be a big blockbuster is the new Ghostbusters movie. Do you think you might go see that one?
Yeah, I'll see it when it comes out. I don't know that I'll go to the theater. No, I'm kidding.
I haven't decided. I haven't decided.
Okay, so I saw that we were going to start talking about it, and I realized I had not even seen the trailer for it yet. Ooh. So I watched the trailer. I wasn't excited about it. I was not excited about it. Mm. I watched the trailer, and I found myself smiling through the whole thing. Mm. And, you know, everybody is hating on this movie. And I don't think that they needed to remake Ghostbusters. But I did like some of the sort of subtle things about women in it, such as there's a scene where they're all lined up ready to go into a building to eradicate, and one of them says, "Okay, let's go," and the other one started to say that at the same time. Yeah. And so these two women were like, "Oh no, I'm sorry, next time I'll let you say it." "Oh no, it's fine, you can say what you know." And that's exactly how women are. Like, you know, none of them, you know, many of them may be leaders, but they're very often kind of reserved at being leaders. And so anyways, it was things like that that I thought was kind of cute. And I'm going to see it. Just, yeah. I think because people hate on it so much, I'll probably want to see it more.
Yeah. Well, and it kills me. Nobody has seen this movie yet.
No.
But half of the internet is just raging about the shitty new Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
and how bad it's going to be. And this is the worst thing that could have happened. And, you know, so let me back up. Before the trailer was even released, I was pretty excited about this. It didn't need to be remade, but I loved the original Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. And if it's done well, I'm a fan of remakes as well, because I get that little nostalgia bump, as well as, you know, getting to see current actors in a modern setting tell the same story. And it's just kind of a neat thing if it's done well.
Yeah.
So I was pretty excited when I heard that they were going to do this. And then they came out with the announcement that it's going to be an all-female cast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like,
that's right. It came out later that it was going to be women.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, okay, this is like a different take. Like, basically, I thought they were going to tell the same story, but with a female cast. I was like, this will be interesting. Okay, yeah, I'm still in. Well, then they come out with the trailer. Probably, it's been a while now, 2-3 months, I think, since the first trailer came out. And it didn't sit well with me. Like, the scene that you pointed out where the women were interacting,
mm-hmm.
I thought was great. I thought it was funny. But the majority of the trailer just felt forced, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
And I think that's a lot of why the internet is hating on it, or at least a good portion of the people are hating on it because of the trailer. I don't think was edited together very well, because immediately after the trailer came out and everybody started shitting on the trailer, a fan or a, you know, someone that had seen it recut the footage into a different trailer, same footage, but a different cut.
Interesting.
And it's like a million times better.
Hmm.
It's way better. And then, so just this week, they released trailer number 2. And it was a marked improvement over the first trailer. However, still seeming a little bit forced. And then they also released the international trailer, which I think out of all the trailers, all the footage that we've seen so far, I think the international trailer captures more of what I want to see in this movie than the other ones had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hopeful. I think just the whoever is putting together the trailers is not necessarily the best person to be doing it. Yeah. I don't think they're capturing what... Because what you pointed out was the women interacting with each other is what mm-hmm. is compelling and a source of comedy. And I absolutely agree. We see very little of that in these trailers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
I barely picked up on that one little thing. Not that even that scene was that funny, but to me, I was like, okay, well, maybe there's going to be a lot of that. Like,
right. Yes.
The fact that, these women are one of them is the, I don't know, they're brilliant scientists. They're the best in their field, and yet, you know, they're women. So I guess there's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just think that if it is anything like the original Ghostbusters, it would be a fun ride. Mm-hmm. It'll be a joy, even for kids particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's going to be good. I don't know. You know, I mean, I try not to get think too much into trailers, and make that, you know, decide for me whether or not I'm going to see something or not. But, I don't know. We'll give it a shot and see.
I use trailers as kind of like a hype machine. Like there's people like Jeff Cannata that avoids trailers
right. mm-hmm.
like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
I like the hype that it gives me.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a movie that I know I'm going to see, or it's a subject matter that I know I'm going to like, I will definitely watch the trailer, and it helps me get hyped up and like, just like, yeah, I can't wait for this movie. So I don't know, but you know, that's just me. But I'm really concerned about the internet coming out in mass and shitting on this movie that hasn't even come out yet. And what really concerns me about it is there seems to be this trend of misogyny.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
A few weeks ago, probably about a month or month and a half, 2 months ago, we had Chris Ronan and Snowshoe on the show.
Yeah.
And we talked about Gamergate and
oh, yeah.
some of the issues with that. And a lot of the controversial stuff that goes with Gamergate at its core is misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that just saddened me. This is 2016. Like, what the hell? We were just talking about the documentaries on the 60s and the 70s. And women marched and got, equal rights and made strides toward equal pay for equal work and all of this stuff, all of this work and progress that we made as a culture, as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, like 30, 40, 50 years later.
And they're still getting paid 79 cents for every dollar a man makes. So,
right.
You know.
Right. Yes. That. and. I don't get it. I don't know. Jackie, help me out. Help me understand.
I agree. I think it's really always going to be a hard battle for equality in any situation.
Yeah.
Sadly, I guess I'm very pessimistic, but I definitely see that with men and women for. I don't know. I mean, it's always been part of most cultures.
Right. We're on the precipice right now of this country's first female president.
True.
Now, whether that comes to pass, I don't know. But if I was a betting man, I would say that this year we are going to elect our first woman president.
She's got a good chance. Yeah.
Yeah. Siri keeps going off. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm definitely not saying Siri. but yeah, I, I just, I don't.
Oh, Siri's a female voice, right? So she wants to jump in.
Oh, that's what it is. She has she has comments.
She wants to correct you on something.
Yes. I don't know. I just, I think our country is ready for a woman president as much as some people don't think so or would disparage the thought of it. But I just, I don't know. I just, I don't get the persistence of not just misogyny, but racism and homophobia and discrimination of basically anything. I mean, there's a difference between discriminating taste, like, you know, I don't like vegetables. I would prefer fruits. You know, that's discriminating taste. But when you say that, you know what, vegetables are the devil and we should ban vegetables, or we should make vegetables cost way more than fruits because they're terrible and only terrible people eat them, you know, or whatever.
Well, you know, yeah, also a big part of it, the thing that bothers me a lot is this is a big problem in comedy. Women aren't funny and we all know it. That's a common thing you hear.
That's bullshit.
So I think that is plays the biggest level in this backlash to this movie, is that why would you go and take a movie that had Bill Murray and I can't even think of all their names at the moment, and then go and turn it into, you know, put these women on? Because I mean, I love Kristen Wiig, so I'm going to see the movie. I don't know if I'll see it in the theater or I'll see it later, but I love Kristen Wiig and I love her movies. Yeah. I think she's a great comedian, a great comedy writer in particular. And I admire comedy writers more than actual showmen. But I think that is the big part of this, the backlash on this movie, is that it's, you're going to take this and turn it into, you know, if it had been originally a movie, like, you know, they could take, you know, I don't know if you remember the movie. It was a movie called 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton.
Oh,
and
yes,
absolutely.
That was early 80s. I remember that.
Yeah, they wouldn't take that and turn that into a man's movie today. Like, it wouldn't even really be funny.
Right, right.
But, no, you know, it's, I think that's what it comes down to. It's just that they're taking this movie that's already great, already a great classic comedy, and, you know, getting some funny women in it, but not everybody likes those comedians. And yeah. I think it's because people in general, female comedians, have it a lot harder.
Right. You know, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if the movie's going to be good or not, but I am hopeful. I'm a fan of the concept because, like I said, I liked the original Ghostbusters, and I have no problem with it being an all-woman cast or a remake of the original. I don't know. Despite the horrible trailers that have been released, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Another thing that bothers me is that people that don't like remakes or a reimagining or what have you,
yeah,
they will say the phrase, "This has ruined my childhood," or something to that effect.
Yes.
How the fuck did that ruin your childhood?
Your childhood memories are null and void.
Yeah, like I hate that phrase. Like, it's so stupid.
It's a ridiculous phrase. Yeah.
Like, I could hate this movie and I will still have fond memories of watching Ghostbusters as a kid. I don't know what these people's problem is, that the new one's going to overwrite your memories of the original. I don't know. There's something about that phrase that just kills me. It bothers the hell out of me. I don't know.
You know, I try to admit at least one terribly embarrassing thing about myself in every podcast I do.
Yes.
And, well, I guess the cat pooping on my desk is one. But the second one would be that in college, I think when I was like 21, I said to – oh, I'm sorry. That was last year, by the way.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I said to my professor – I can't believe I said this. I said, "Music ruined my life." And he just kind of like put down what he had in his hands. And he said, that is That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard a human being say. How you're how old? And music ruined your life? And I don't even know why I said it. I think I was talking about like being in love with somebody who's in a band and they like hurt me and the music just made me sad. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, but anyways, that was the dumbest thing. And so I've never said anything like that again. And so to hear someone saying that something has ruined their childhood, that is just, I mean, hey, you could have had a horrible life, a horrible childhood. You know, you could have been mistreated, you know, or treated badly by your parents or somebody. And then, yeah, that could have ruined your childhood. But remaking Ghostbusters 30 years later, no.
Yeah, that does not rank up there with... Yeah. Oh man. Some people just must live pathetic lives. I don't know. Oh geez. So, Jackie, you and I are podcasters.
Oh yeah.
We are.
I guess I am now.
Yeah. We are podcasters on DiamondClub.tv.
Yeah.
But we are not the like reason that Diamond Club TV exists. We have an A team, a pro level version of what we do, I guess. We've got superstars like Brian Brushwood, Justin Robert Young, Tom Merritt, people like that doing amazing shows. Night Attack, of course, being
real shows.
The flagship, I would say, of Diamond Club TV. But there is a litany of these let's call them indie shows or B shows, I guess, of, you know, like there's the Ritual Misery podcast. There's all of these great shows that stream on DiamondClub.tv.
Yeah.
Well, Amos and I would like to start a group. I don't want to call it a support group, but like a mutually. I mean, we can all sit in a circle. No,
because I kind of need it. Like, I think this is like the third or fourth podcast I've done this week or in the last 2 days or the last 36 hours.
We could all get together and sit in a circle.
I could use a support group right now. Look, I could also use a bottle of rum.
My name is Kent and I am a podcaster.
Yeah, that's right.
But we're putting together this thing. We're tentatively calling it the Diamond Club B Team Podcasting Group. And we're going to put together a Slack channel. It's basically going to be a place where all of us so-called B-team podcasters on DiamondClub.tv can kind of get together and share ideas.
I love it.
Talk about different ideas for guests, bits, recording techniques, audio equipment. All of these lessons learned. Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly. All of these things. And if you are a streamer, especially on DiamondClub.tv, if you want to be a part of this, you can email us podcast@ritualmisery.com. And especially if you put DCBT in the subject line, then we're going to go ahead and put you in the Slack channel. And then we're trying to build this little mutually beneficial community out of it. So real interested to see where that goes. I'm looking forward to everyone's input with that. Jackie, speaking of all of these podcasts and things, tell us where people can find you. What are these shows that you do?
Oh, sure. And by the way, to talk about that the B team. I really like that because lately I've been connecting with more and more people in Diamond Club who say to me, hey, I want to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. I'll go get a mic. Can you want to start? And I can never say no. And so I've been finding myself taking on more and more things but that's fine. I'm having fun. As long as you're having fun, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
And you can't take it too seriously. You just got to get in there. You got to do it for the fun of it. And if you enjoy it, do it. If you think, oh, nobody wants to watch what I have to say or do, screw them. Like nobody's going to be watching anyways. Just don't ever think of a podcast as something that people, when you start getting too consumed with your ratings or, or this or that. I mean, you should. I think you should. I think you should definitely make goals, as you guys are very successful in doing that. By the way, I have a lot to learn, lessons to learn from you.
We're successful in presenting goals, not necessarily achieving them.
No. I think that's very important. But you can't get too wrapped up in it and right. feel, because I kind of felt that way from time to time. Particularly, there's one podcast I have called Lawyer Up. It just means so much to me. It's so important. And so when I've heard nobody in Diamond Club, of course, but I've heard some people with other podcasts that are on the same topic kind of put us down. I'm kind of like, man, there's room for everybody, anyways. So I like that your idea. I think that's a great idea, because there's so many like lessons learned by, like troubleshooting OBS your audio or how to get up on iTunes. All of that stuff. Like I think that that's excellent. I can't wait for you guys to get that rolling. But yeah, so I already mentioned one. I started another one today on Black Mirror, and I'm not as threatened by that because Black Mirror is such a short show.
Yes, there's what, so we're only seven episodes right now, right?
Yeah. Six in the last one, White Christmas.
It's basically a movie.
Yeah,
it's a double episode.
Yeah, my favorite one personally. But we'll be done in 7 weeks, and then we wait until next year when the new episodes come out. But honestly, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much as I normally do. But if anybody wants to really see stuff that I'm really excited about, please follow me on YouTube. I'm YouTube/user/JackieHearn or just Jackie Hearn. Subscribe to my channel, because I have been doing a lot of puppet stuff and I'm very excited about it. And I'm kind of banking these videos, and I'm going to do it. I might even turn it into a podcast itself.
Nice.
Of a weekly thing of videos. So please follow me on YouTube. And that's all I had to say. Sorry. Zip it. I'm sorry, you probably couldn't see me, but I zipped my mouth.
Oh no, that's great. Yeah, definitely follow Jackie in all of her places. She is a very entertaining person. I love following her everywhere.
Aw, no, I'm a knucklehead. That's okay. Yeah,
the best place to follow me if you're interested in things that I'm doing. Go to Twitter @RM_DelNoche. That's the best place to find me. If you're interested in beer like I am, you can go to ratebeer.com and look up username Del Noche. I've been trying to rate a lot more lately, the last few weeks, than I have been over the last couple of months. You can follow the show on Twitter @RitualMisery. You can submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. Please, somebody, if you're listening, just go to ritualmisery.reddit.com and put anything in there. It's been like 3 months since anyone put something there.
I forgot that you guys had one. I would have done that. I'd have been talking away.
Yeah, like heck yeah.
So instead of talking in a podcast, I could just go there.
Just go pollute the Reddit.
That's right.
No, that would be great. Anything in there, we will definitely consider as a topic on our show. And typically what happens is we get midway through the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and we're still like, oh crap, what are we going to talk about on tomorrow's show? So if something's in the Reddit, there's a really good chance that we're going to talk about it, because this show is kind of a no holds barred, presented as a geeky show, which we are, because we're geeks, but we'll sit here and talk about just about any topic. Go through our archives and you will see there's no topic that's really off limits. So yeah, if you guys could contribute to that, that'd be awesome.
And what was the Reddit again?
ritualmisery.reddit.com.
Great. Excellent. Yep. I'm on my way.
Yep. You can also email us podcast@ritualmisery.com. If you want to hear your voice on our show and you haven't been a guest yet, you should call us. You can call us and leave us a voicemail. It's 567-69-TRMPC or 567-698-7672. course, you can find all of these links and more ways to support the show and give feedback on our website, ritualmisery.com. Thank you so much to Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use your music. Thanks for listening. For Jackie, for me, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
Bye!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.